Book of Luke, chapter 10. The title of this morning's message is Meeting the Need. Meeting the Need. Meeting the Need. Meeting the need in somebody else's life. Too many times we're trying to meet the needs within our own life. Trying to meet the needs and providing for our families. Trying to meet the needs of our boss for 8 to 10 hours all day long. But I believe here this morning, we're in church. We are the body of Christ here this morning. And I truly believe that the purpose of the body of Christ is to reach out. It's to be an extension of who Jesus is. We are the body. Tell your neighbor, you are the body of Christ. We're no longer the body of this world, but the body of Christ. And I really believe by us meeting the needs in somebody else's life, we are able to effectively portray the true body of Christ, the true love of Christ, and meeting somebody else's need. And that's who we are, Victory Outreach. And I believe not just as a ministry of Victory Outreach, but I believe that's what the Lord wants for all the churches. To meet the needs of the lost and the bound, those less fortunate. If we really look at our condition here this day, there might be some issues taking place. But as I look around, everybody looks, you know, wearing nice clothes and the truth is, we're really blessed of God, and sometimes we get so caught up in our very own personal needs that we miss what the Lord wants to do. We get so caught up in what we look like instead of representing the true body of Jesus. The true body of Jesus is going to sacrifice. It's going to be committed. It's going to reach out. As Jesus did on the cross that day for your life and my life, He was meeting our needs. And in order for Him to meet our needs, He would have to die on the cross and be the atonement, that perfect atonement. He would take our place and He would have to come in to remove the sin within our lives. In order for the best to come forth from our lives, Jesus would do a work on the cross that will allow all of us the opportunity here this day to no longer be shackled up for whatever reason in bondage, but to be set free in order to be the true body, the true extensions of Jesus. It's a good place to give the Lord a good clap offering here this Sunday morning. The Bible tells us that the grace and the mercies of the Lord are fresh each and every morning. You might have went to sleep troubled last night, had issues last night, but God's grace and mercy is so powerful that this day we start a brand new with a clean slate. Meeting the need is what I want to speak about here this beautiful Sunday morning. As Pastor Jamie said, my voice is opened up. As Pastor Jamie said, that we were going all out to the north side today. Amen. We always open up at 26 in Burleigh. That's my spot. Amen. And every time we go there, it becomes God's spot. It's a hot spot, but it belongs to God. The people there belong to God. We have all this brand new system. Last winter we got stolen. They took our generators, speakers, I don't know what else, ladders, chainsaws, all kinds of stuff. And I think I told Wednesday night service, I said, I told him that the devil done messed up because the power system we had, the power mixer board we had only would max out at 500 watts. Amen. And a lot of times we would get blasting really loud while we do the street rallies. It would shut off. You would have to reset it, amen, and turn it back on. So because how many know that John 10, that the Bible said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he stole our equipment to do rallies, amen. And I said, he done messed up because now we have a board that is capable of 1,600 watts versus 500. So we're just going to be at three times louder. We were loud as it was at 500 watts. Would ring through the neighborhood two or three blocks going in any direction. Now we're going to be way loud, way loud. Think they're going to be saying that salvation, repeating the salvation prayer from every the north side, the south side, the east side, and the west side when we make it at the north side. It's going to be that loud. We're excited. That was supposed to be taking place. We're going to be going, if you just go straight up 61st and you cut through the parking lot of Walgreens, the Taco Bell, and then Walgreens, and you just keep going in a straight line, you will run dead center into the park. It's very close. We're going to take a lot of flyers out there. And I want all of y'all, as many as you can, if you got kids, there's a great playground right there where you can be with your kids and a place where you can minister to other mothers and fathers that are out there. So we're really going to just go with flyers. We're not going to go with amplified sound, just with flyers. Amen? So that is today. And I think it's important to me to start off sharing what we're going to be doing after the service. Amen? The book of Luke chapter 10, a very familiar parable, dealing with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's read Luke 10, 1 through 37. Verses 25 through 37. There we go. And the Bible reads, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. How many know it's not wise to test Jesus? So many do it. You don't have to be an expert to test Jesus. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Remember this, I believe it was in front of all kinds of people, Jews especially, amen? Stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replies in verse 26, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. Verse 28, Jesus replied, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, and here's where we start with the parable. In reply, Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side, Lord, and that you speak here this day to your people. That you not only give instructions for our lives, but instructions to be carried out for the lost and the bound. That we be your true body this day that responds to your word, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Two questions were asked here by the expert in the law. Two questions were asked. The first one we find there in verse 25. And at the end there of the verse, it says, he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Amen. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, I believe it was, I gave you the wrong verse then. Yep, gave you the wrong verse. It was probably my mistake. Amen. Let's just keep moving. It was stated there in Deuteronomy. Amen. Dealing with the answer there that Jesus would give. Amen. In 27. 29, there was another question that he had in verse 29. The Bible reads, "But he wanted to justify himself, so we asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Amen. That's verse 29. And we find that in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Two questions that the expert of the law would ask Jesus to test him. And we know that the answer was found there in verse 27. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Here, this expert of the law, I put here simple notes. He had the answer being an expert of the law within his head, but not within his heart. He was not able to apply what he knew. He had the knowledge within his mind. And that is the problem of many churches today. They have the wisdom, the knowledge of God, but yet do not apply it to their life or to anybody else's life. And that is called religion. It's religion. In verse 30, the Bible reads where the parables picks up. It says, "In reply, Jesus said, the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Amen? This man, this individual that fell into the hands of robbers, more than likely, not 100% sure, but more than likely was a Jew. He fell into the hands of robbers. How many have made mistakes in your life where you fell into the hands of Satan? In the book of John 10:10, the Bible reads that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So here, this man was robbed, amen? Stripped of his clothing, he was beat down. The Bible says that he was half dead. How many have been in a place at times in your lives where you were half dead, led half dead? I've been in a place where I was left fully dead many times over through the work of the enemy. The enemy had he had destroyed, he had stolen everything from my life, but what he was really trying to do was capitalize on my life while he had me down. He was trying to capitalize on my life and he was trying to kill me. For I wouldn't have this opportunity that I capitalize today in Jesus. We need to know that there's things taking place right now while we are in the presence of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord, that beyond these walls, people are dying, people are being robbed. Their houses are being broken into right now. The enemy is at full work. And not just on the north side, but on the south side, on the east side, and on the west side. The enemy's busy right now. And the Lord is looking for a people that are going to meet the need of today. Not just the people that are going to show up to church, but a people willing to sacrifice and get committed as one of the true body parts of Christ coming together and to be the real deal disciple of the end times that we're living in. When I ran the streets, nobody liked fakes in the streets. And I believe it's the same thing in the church. Coming to church and still living the same and not changing. That's religion. So I pray by the end of this message this day, you thought you were going somewhere after church, but you're going to be going to the rally we're going to be having down the street. We could say the north side is a hard area to hit, a very dangerous area to hit. Just like between Jerusalem and Jericho, there's a place where thieves would hide out. The Bible says it was called the way of the blood. But I believe this day that we're even going to have a more difficult time where we're going to be sharing the gospel in a place where they think they're okay. It's how you see it here this morning. I see it so much easier to evangelize the worst of the worst areas instead of evangelizing an area that supposedly has it all together. Education, finances, a beautiful house, a nice car, beautiful family can sometimes, if you're not careful, represent that you don't need Jesus. How many know that we know that we need Jesus? Whether we've been saved for one day, one year, 10, 20, 30 years, as you grow in Jesus, you should come to the conviction to know that you cannot make it without Jesus. That you cannot make it without Jesus. So as I see West Allis and as I see the north side, I said, man, put me in the north side. I know they're going to respond to the gospel. Over here, we're going to pass out flyers, get ready to be rejected. No, no, it's okay, okay. Or they'll take it, and 10 steps later, they throw it on the floor. Because they don't think they're messed up. Go to the north side, they know they're messed up. We know they're messed up. And they need help. In verse 31, the Bible tells us that a priest, there was this guy beat down, amen? We read the story. And coming down from Jerusalem, there was a priest that came. He would, I guess that street had two sides on it, and he was coming. As he got closer, saw what was happening. The Bible says he crossed the street, and he walked by and said, them robbers, them thieves, them that gave him a beat down might still be around. So I think he kind of came something like this, amen? He kind of he did one of those. I used to love it when I had all my dogs, my big bulldogs. I used to get so prideful. I walk in with a 120-pound animal with a head this big on it, and I would be walking down the sidewalk, down the street, and people would cross the busy National to get on the other side. I'd say, yeah, you better get out of the way. My dog bites. They wouldn't hurt a flea. But I used to love that authority and that power by walking a big animal next to me, how it would make people jump the street to walk on the other side and say, I don't want no part of that dog. I would tell them, he don't bite, yeah, he don't bite. He'd be slobbering at the mouth. He'd go, it's easier, you know, so you can look at it. And they said, no. And they would move to the other side. The Bible goes on to say in the next verse that also a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, did one of them numbers too, man, just like, you know, walked a little fast and did one of them numbers again. They didn't want no trouble, nor did they want to help trouble. So they both, the ones that you would have thought, with all the spirituality they had, knowing the law, knowing what the Word of God said, would jump across and hightail it, not even considering to help. Now, as you know, the times and the culture and what the Bible reads in the Old Testament, at that time, this could have been one of their excuses, would be that they couldn't touch any dead body, or they would be considered unclean, right? So this could have probably been the excuse of the priest and the Levite, knowing that they would have helped and touched this dead body. The Bible says that the man was left half dead, so they couldn't really tell if he was half dead or dead, amen? So they would say, I can't touch him. That person looks dead to me. Yep, he looks dead to me. I am out of here. I am a priest. I am a Levite. I don't want to be spiritually dirty. But when you read the Bible says that they were coming down from Jerusalem. In verse 30, it says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Amen? So here, in this case, the priest, along with the Levite, were coming down from Jerusalem. They already had gone to Jerusalem. They already had worshiped God, loved God. They had already done all their duties. But yet there was a refusal, I put here, to help their neighbor that more than likely was a Jew. The Bible don't say, but more than likely was a Jew that was there lying half dead. So here they had already gone and worshiped God and done all their ceremonial duties and all that. They were coming down. In other words, they could have helped. They could have helped. Jerusalem was on a hill. They were coming down to Jericho. They had just come. In other words, it was like they had just gotten out of church, as we're going to be getting out of church in a little bit. And we're going to be going from Jerusalem to Jericho, a block up the street. And you would think, because we're going to be leaving church, that we would be inspired of the Spirit, inspired by the word of the Lord that is being preached here this morning, that we should leave. Some of you should be saying, man, come on, Pastor, man, bring it to an end, man. I'm ready to go right now. Because I haven't forgotten that I used, at one time, was that man that was lying half dead, and nobody wanted to help. I want to give back what was given to me. And it was as this priest, my voice has opened up, this priest and this Levite were coming from the mountain there in Jerusalem, or coming down after worshiping God, I believe doing sacrifice or teaching or whatever they were doing. And they would forget, I believe, the very word they were sharing. It was a message without action. I would have to question, I put here, their love unto God. I would really have to question their love for God. I heard so many stories when we were going from church to church looking to purchase a property, another property. I don't want to mention a denomination right now, and I'm not. Just to know what the pastors or the priests were doing in those properties. It's embarrassing even to speak of things that those that were at the top, in charge of everything, drinking, smoking, cigars, gambling, poker. I remember one of the maintenance guys saying, yeah, this is a place where they would all come and get drunk and play poker, and all of them smoking their cigars and stuff. I was like, wow, get me out of this place, man. Just thinking about it, more or less doing it. And here's where we would have the fish fries, and, you know, the fish fries. And did I say fish fries? Yes, I did. That's fish with fries. Amen. He says, this is the place where they would put all the beer, all the kegs and everything. I was like, no way, kegs? You don't know how fortunate right now that you are being sitting in the seat that you're sitting upon right now. How fortunate you are hearing this word right now that comes from the Lord. That comes from a person that was all messed up. But Jesus had a plan for my life just as much as he has a plan for your life. Not just for you to know it, not just to find out what your gift is, but to apply it and to be a true extension, a true disciple of Jesus. And we would go to another building, and the same thing would be talked about with the people, the priests, the pastors. I don't want to give blues clues if I haven't already. In every church that was taking place, it was the norm. It was called fellowship to them. It was called having a good time. It was called raising finances for the ministry. My Lord, if I could have parties with beer in it, I would never have another financial problem in my life. But I'd rather go with no money and all Jesus than all money with no Jesus. On my worst day, on my best day. That's why I know the Lord loves our ministry, not just here in Milwaukee, but internationally, all abroad the world, Jesus loves us. He has specially handpicked us to be able to fulfill a work that he knew would be needed in the end times. He would pick a people that had been there and done that and understand what it is to be down, to have no one to come and help you. We understand. Everything we've been through has brought understanding to us this day. It's from the things that we've been through. It's through the hard times. When a man that's gone through a lot of hard times or a woman that gives their life to the Lord will turn those things that were bad for the good, and the Lord will use our hard times for we will be able to be those extensions of Jesus. Jesus took it to the cross. Too many times we take our salvation for granted, loosely, and we're not responding to what Christ wants from our life. We become that priest and that Levite, that cross on the other side. When you see somebody coming asking for change or something, you roll up the window, you put it in drive, or whatever you got to do. Compassion is not giving some chump change to a wino. That is not compassion. The majority do that just to get that person away from us. Man, let me see. Yeah, here you go. And we don't minister. That person's asking for change because they're down. They're down. Things are not right within their lives. Jesus is extending right now his agape, unconditional love right now to each and every one of us. We are so fortunate to have a vision within our ministry. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. I would have to question their love unto God by just coming down off the mountain there in Jerusalem and passing by the need. They were having church on the inside. I put here, these are my little notes. Having church on the inside only, but not outside the church. Evangelism. Evangelism. Shows us here this morning that you can know God, know Scripture, but still not love God or people. Loving God is one thing, loving people is another. That's why I always preach relationship, true relationship with Jesus. I put here, a true relationship with God is the only way to grow in loving people. I've seen many, I could say a lot of y'all's names right now, where you came in hard, you came in complaining, you came in wanting to fight all the time, and where I can see how God's changing your life by spending time with him. And I can see how now you're being released to be the extensions of God. Spending time with God allows you to grow to love people. It's hard to love people that are doing good. More or less loving people that are not doing good, that are asking for change, always cussing, always being disobedient. But who all at one time was doing all that? I know I was, and then some. And sometimes we forget because we're not spending time with Christ to keep it fresh within our lives of what he took us out of. You see, Jesus, this Samaritan represents Jesus. There's a scripture in a chapter, I forget, that they called Jesus a Samaritan. They called him a Samaritan. Jamie, you know the scripture off the top of your head? I should have wrote it down. Everybody was passing. My mom and dad at the end, they did the best they could. They did the best. I was robbing them blind. At the end, they cut me loose. They called, they kicked me out of the house. I ran away from the house, and then I was kicked out of the house. In my disobedience at 12 years old, I ran away. I was going to teach them a lesson for spanking me, and I would go with college guys. I was with girls and women in colleges, and my dad would come searching for me. I was only 12. Most kids that run away from home the next very day, they're already back. Not me. I was partying already. I was with grown women already. And my dad would go to a club at the university looking for his son. I would eventually go back home just to milk it and be the one that stays there. I'm at 25, 27 years old until they kicked me out. I ran away from home and then I got kicked out. How many ever ran away from home? Raise your hands. How many ever got kicked out from your house? Raise your hands. A true relationship with God is the only way to grow in loving God. Here the priest and the Levite was going to church, so to speak. I'm going to use that term, going to church. But not allowing the way they lived to be changed. Ask yourself here this day. By the month, 6 months, a year, the couple of years you got coming. You have coming to church. Slowly but surely, are you changing? Or are you remaining the same? And if you feel, it's easier to see the growth in somebody else's life than it is in your life. Or the problems in somebody else's life rather than seeing the problems in your own life. But if you really truly believe that you've been here for years and you're not growing, I just want to let you know it's not my fault. It's definitely not God's fault. But maybe you're not doing the things like spending time with God and reading that allows one to be transformed and changed. Here the priest and the Levite was going through the motions, going to church. They went up to Jerusalem, but not allowing the way they lived to change. And they showed that very clearly by not meeting the need of that man that had been left there for half dead. I put it here on my side notes that's taking place all through the city of Milwaukee. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are going to church faithfully every Sunday with no change. With no change. That's called religion once again. Thousands and thousands of members that can quote scripture better than I can and still living the same through the week, still treating their wives the same, still treating their husbands and children the same. You see, when you remain the same, you will never get to the place of meeting the need that Christ has put before you, not on the other side of the street. A Samaritan, we all know, was a half-breed, less than human. Let's go to 33, verse 33. Kicks in where the priest had gone by, the Levite had gone by. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. How many have been in your car and you see that street person? Say, oh man, Lord, help him, please, Lord. And you put it in drive and you take off. You have pity on the person, the need that is before you. You say, oh man, that guy's all messed up, man. You put it in drive and you take off. Man, I know that's a prostitute. I always told the guys I have an eye for prostitutes. I can see them 100 miles off. They don't have to be dressed all spanky, all nasty looking. Everything. You say, there goes a prostitute. It can be a high dollar prostitute, and I still know when it's a prostitute. How I had many years of training when I was running with the devil. A prostitute, a person walking down the sidewalk, down the street, you're either going from point A to point B, you finally get to the store and you get back, whatever. A prostitute will do this. Every time a car goes by, she'll go. Every time a car goes by. They want to see if the car is going to pull over, stop, make a U-turn, and come back around. Some brake lights go on. A prostitute will walk to the end of the block, stop, hang out for a little bit, and play it off like she's just taking a walk down the street. And she'll walk back again where she started from to not make it look obvious. And she'll stay here, and then she'll go right back to the same spot. Before you know it, she's walked back and forth 20 times. Before you know it, she's been on the same spot for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, being picked up and dropped off, picked up and dropped off. I got insight to all of that. I know when guys are slinging dope, when it looks like a real cool transaction, just shaking hands and talking. Because I've been there and I've done that. I've studied it well because I did it myself. Here the Bible says in verse 33, dealing with the Good Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was. He didn't jump across the street. And this was a Samaritan. A commentary says strongly that the man that was half dead was a Jew. In other words, the one that was half dead was the enemy to the Samaritan and vice versa. And he still stopped to where this man, being a Jew or not a Jew, was lying half dead at. I say, in order to love and make relationships, to me that's discipleship, we need to go toward the need. You need to go toward the need. We need to start learning when we see the prostitute or see the one asking for change, instead of going away from the need, hopping over to the other side of the road as if you don't see it or you don't recognize that that's a prostitute, a wino, a drug dealer, a gang member, whatever it might be. You know why it's easier just to stop on the other side of the road? Because it's the easier one, because we're always going somewhere. And usually as we travel, we're usually traveling late as it is. So to pull over and take our time to help somebody really takes us out of where we're going, for one. And for two, it's going to make us late to wherever we're going. Here, the Bible says when this Samaritan came to this place, he stopped. He not only had pity on him, but he helped him. It just don't happen on its own. Too many times we can say, I'm Victory Outreach. I am part of a frontline ministry. And we all clap. But we do nothing to back up who we are. God has saved us with purpose, with a plan. He's given us a vision that not only we got, but Chicago's got, Africa's got, Australia, London, Europe, Mexico, Texas, California. All over the world, we have the vision of saving, through Jesus, the lost and the bound, going towards the need. Going towards the need. Too many times, as we not spend the right time with the Lord, we will always dodge the need, instead of going towards the need. We know, I put here, our purpose as Victory Outreach International, as Victory Outreach Milwaukee, because we have a vision to set the lost and bound free. we not only know our purpose, but we're going to do it by going towards, I put here, the north side after church service. The true service. The true church is out there. It's the lost and the bound. God always gives me that insight. Because there's many, not in this church, of course, that are in church this morning that are not the true church of God. That are not true disciples and extensions of Jesus. The true church is out there. That's the true church. The book of Acts is out there. The winning of souls. We might win a few here this Sunday, but out there, it's in abundance. The true church is out there. The true disciples should go beyond the church, not just stay within the church and receive all this head wisdom without doing nothing with it. The true church. I want to be part of the true church. Of the great commission of making disciples. Starting off working with men, women, and youth from scratch. Brand new. Coming in, dragging them in as drug addicts, prostitutes, alcoholics, know-it-alls. And bringing them in and working with them. I don't want to be a pastor who has transfer growth, where people already come knowing everything. But we got to be a people willing to work with people that are all messed up. Too many people don't want to spend time with people that are all messed up. We need to really, really look at ourselves here this day in the mirror. Have we been doing and fulfilling the purpose that why Christ saved us? We really need to ask ourselves that, but it's real easy after church is over and work starts Monday and all of a sudden you're back to the rat race. And there's no time spending with Jesus or nothing taking place. And all you can think about, because you're not spending time with Jesus, is poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. Selfishness. Oh, I know when people are selfish and when people are humble. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes the ones that talk twice as much is just revealing to me where they're truly at. Making all these requests and demands of little things that they want. And there's people dying. Too many times we're waiting for people to come to us first. Instead of going towards the need, because we know what the need looks like. We know what the lost and bound looks like. We know the way they walk, they talk. And try to play it off with a smile that they're okay. We need to go as the Good Samaritan went to the place where this man was lying half dead. We need to go towards the need in order to give love, in order to give what they need to make it. But too many times we're, God, if you send them to me, if you send them, then I'll help. Too many times we're waiting for people to come to us that are in bondage. But I believe the church of today is the source of bondage. Too many times we want people to come to us. Apostle Paul says, I become all things unto all men. He would go down to their level. He would meet them where they were at in order to transmit effectively and to be able to communicate effectively. Too many times we're waiting for people to come to us first. When we go out and evangelize, we're going to the field. Someone said, man, I hope they don't come. I hope she don't come my way. I hope, man, I got a problem in this area. Please, 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 please. Brother, you see her? Yeah, 12 o'clock. Yeah, that's you. 2 o'clock, sister, that's you. Now you're a pointer. You're a pointer instead of You see the need, but you want someone else to go meet it. Too many times you're waiting for people to come to us first. We're the ones that put here with the answer, the food, the church, the rehabs, with Jesus. In verse 29, the expert would ask Jesus the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? As I was studying, I called Pastor Jamie. It was like a bullseye. When you see like an arrow, a bullseye has different rings. Amen. It would be like the priest and the Levite. I think I did it right. The priest and the Levite, and then it would be like the Jew, and then the Samaritans, and then the Gentiles. Amen. That's why when the disciples and Paul, there was so much confusion in the early church because they started to reach out to the Gentiles. That's you and I. I guess we're considered worse than Samaritans. But there was the priest and the Levite. And then, as if that was the middle of the ring, I forgot I was going to have it up there. The priest and the Levite, the next ring would be the Jew. And then the next surrounding ring would be the Samaritan. And then the further surrounding ring would be the Gentiles, you and I. They had like a hierarchy. Another word for that is just like I put here, a pecking order, ranks, levels of authority. Back in the days, it was so strong. That's why when they would see a Samaritan, they would not even speak to them, more or less help them. It was different ranks, amen? And here, the expert of the law would ask the question, who is my neighbor? He knew what the word of God would said. In other words, he was asking, how much and how far do I have to love? He knew the order, the pecking order. If he was wondering, how many rings out do I got to go really? How far to fulfill the law? How far do I got to go? What's the extension of the love that I got to use? Is it just to help, you know, the Levite, the priest, the Jews? Do I really got to go another step and help the Samaritans? Do I really got to go another step and help the Gentiles? He was not really asking, who is my neighbor? But he was really asking, how far do I need to love in order to fulfill the law? How much do I got to do in order to be right before the Lord? To what degree or to what type of people do I need to love in order to fulfill the law? Life is so hard right now that it's not about the blacks on the north side, the whites, the browns, or whatever. Life is so hard right now that you can be mad at a very family member right now, not even talking to a family member. Skip the priests and the Levite, the Jews, and all those rings of a further authority. But there's some of you right now that are really mad at somebody right now. And they have a need. But you're mad. Here the expert of the law, here the priest and the Levite knew the law. And in Exodus 23, 4 and 5, they knew they were supposed to help. They knew they were supposed to help. And the Bible reads in the law that they knew there in the book of Exodus, if you come across your enemy's ox, how many rings out? You know, just to the Jew, the Samaritans, to the Jew. How far do I need to love? The Bible here says all the way to the part of coming across your enemy. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey, remember the Levite and the priest knew these verses, wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you falling down under its load, do not leave it there, but be sure you help him with it. This is dealing with the donkey. But here yet there was a man that was half dead that they walked by without meeting the need. It's one thing to pass by the need without having understanding of God's word. It's another thing to pass by the need with understanding of God's word. I'll never forget, I was ministering to a wino with another brother, like on 26th or 25th on National at a bus stop corner there at Walgreens. This guy was stinking. Oh my God, he was gone. And he was white. And all of a sudden, he was all messed up. And all of a sudden, a black wino comes up. And he asks us for what? Change. What did I say? I can't help you. I'm ministering to this one wino already, right? I'm like, this black wino's trying to mess up my evangelizing to this guy. But what did the white wino do? He went into his pocket, pulled out a bag, and started getting all his change. And he gave it to the black wino. I'm feeling this big now. I'm like, you evangelized to me. You know why that one wino, even though he was white, was able to give all his change he had to the black wino? Because he understood what it was to be a wino without. I don't forget what the Lord did for me. I may not be a perfect speaker, polished speaker, but one thing I know and one thing I do not forget is what the Lord took me out of. I'll never forget it. I was sitting there with the other gentleman. They had a real... He had a pickup and I had a car at the time. This white wino guy had everything he carried. My life is in that little. I said, hey, man. So I looked at my brother, not going to give nobody's name up. That brother's not here with reason. And I tested him, the brother that went with me. We had two cars parked there on National in front of Walgreens, and I said, the guy agreed to go to the rehab. And I told the brother, I almost said his name. You want to know his name, don't you? Nah, I'm not going to give his name. Back in the days, I would have without even thinking twice about it. I said, which one of us two is going to take him to the rehab? Because he's fully urinated. He's smelling like, oh, my God, oh, my Lord, right? And I seen him thinking in his mind. I already got put to shame when the white wino gave the black wino the change. I was trying to get some points. And the brother from the church looked at me. He goes, why don't you take him in your car, Pastor? I said, you got it. You got it. You got it. I just almost knew he was not going to put him in his car because he was smelling and stinking. I said, you want me to take him? Yeah, Pastor, you know what you're doing. Why don't you take him? It was nothing because I knew what I was doing. It's just that he didn't want to sit him in his vehicle. Man, I cleaned it up that day real good. I said, come on, brother, man, get in my car, man. Put him in my front seat. That's why God invented water and soap, I always say. There was a time where water and soap couldn't help me. Going to the north side, now going here up the block, I truly believe demonstrates God's love working in and through us. 1 Corinthians 13:13 reads, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Even though this Samaritan was hated, he was able to give love. I put here, the greatest of these is love. In order to get great results, we need to operate in true love. I believe there's going to be great results of salvation this day in the Northside Rally. Remember, I prepared this message to go to the north side. Now we're going right up the road to a harder field to evangelize. A great salvation is going to take place that would have never took place without us going towards the spot, towards the need. Love don't ask how far do I have to go, but what can I do? In Luke 10:25, on the one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We know that it was the doing of Christ. What must I do? I do represents the works of the flesh. What must I do, the expert asked, represents the priest and the Levite. They were doing everything in the synagogues, everything that was right, everything in Jerusalem. On the outside, they looked very religious, very spiritual. But on the inside, there was not love. Jesus was sharing what you do on the inside. It's on the inside, not what we look like on the outside coming to church. Many people got dressed up this Sunday to go to church. But what Jesus was allowing this expert to see was, what do you look like on the inside? In your mind, you're very intellect, you're very smart, you're very educated. You're an expert. Matter of fact, you're an expert of the law, an expert of my very word. But what do you look like on the inside? What's really taking place within our lives? Before the Lord, I can tell you who you see as my wife and I is who we are at our house. We're not living a totally different life in the house than we live when we're here in church. What you see is what you get. Jesus here this day is looking for fruit. An inner bearing, witnessing of the Spirit of God that bears fruit to love. He wants fruit, not looks, not works. What are we really, really feeling within our lives here this day? Are some of you saying, man, I haven't been doing enough? I've just been reaching out and helping people that I know will help me back in return, that I can expect something back in return by helping them? Can we really say that we've been helping people, the down and outer, and not expect nothing back in return? That's why it's so good to go to the north side, man. It's so good. I wish it would have took place today. It still looks good outside right now. Where all of us, white, black, and brown, would have been there. Serving hot dogs, sodas, chips, or what have you, testifying that you can make it, testifying that we were just where you were at. Though we might be white, though we might be brown and not, but we were just where you were at. It's called sin. I want to be a minister of the Lord. I want to be able to make a difference in somebody's life. Yes, I want a powerful leadership, but also I want to save the lost and the bound. And that's why I need a powerful leadership that has a conviction to love God. First of all, to love God. And to let the years and the process go by in loving man and loving woman and loving a people that are not a people. It takes years to develop that type of agape love. Man, there was times when you told me anything crooked, I'm going to say, how dare you say that to me? Don't you know I am the pastor? You can't speak to me like that. I haven't said that in so long. Because I continue to grow in the things of the Lord, I'm letting people get away with murder now. As I remember, I was where they were at one time. A true relationship with Jesus will always allow you to go towards the need. Towards the need. We need to capitalize on Sunday rallies because the truth is the majority have to go to work all week. So we can look at it's my only day of rest, or it's my only day that I can really get busy for 7 or 8 hours for Jesus, where I can allow him to be my boss. Where I can, I want overtime at the rally. I want to be the first one there. I want to be the last one there. I want overtime. I want to be the one that races to that drug addict before you get there. I want to get there. Because we have the answer. We have the answer this day that is able to save lives, families, marriages. I'm going to bring it to an end here. But here, I had a closing verse I'm not going to use. It says that this Samaritan 33, that he bandaged his wounds. That means he made contact with this man, even if it was his enemy, a Jew. He bandaged his wounds. That means he made contact with this man. We need to make contact with the sinners. We need to make contact. We need to love them. We need to hug them. We need to touch them. The first thing that a baby needs when it comes out of the mother's womb is to be touched. One way of abortion is that they put the baby in a steel little pan, and within minutes that baby dies if it's not touched. Too many not wanting to touch sin or the sinner anymore. It always comes up in my preach, but a brother in our church, I'll never forget, said, never forget what sin smells like. Never forget what sin smells like. This church is bigger. The church on 25th and National, when a wino would come in, the whole church would smell like wine. It had a little 9-foot ceiling. It was small. If a drug addict, if a street person came in, the whole church would smell like the streets. This one, it kind of goes a little bit higher, 35, 40-foot ceiling. But there's still an aroma that is not pleasing to the Lord. He made contact with this man. Used his donkey. He put him in his car. That's where I had the story with the wine when I asked my disciple, who's taking him to the rehab? And he says, you are, pastor. And I knew why he said, you are, pastor. He did not want that man in his car. This man, the Samaritan, put him on his donkey. He took him to an inn. We have a rehab that we can take these people into. Silver coins, I like this one. Silver coins and any extra expense represents that it not only takes time making contact, you know, putting people that are lost and bound in our cars and trusting God to protect us, having a place to take them, but it also represents finances. Finances. A lot of you say you're frontline ministry and you want to help, but you're a non-tither. You're a non-tither. You have somehow put all these scriptures together because God spoke to you that you don't have to give. But I guess the devil was talking a little bit better, because when you put it all together, when the devil told you to give, you gave everything, even your life. You gave everything. So it's only right in your eyes to give to the devil and not to God. Do you know that there was givers before you were saved that prepared a way for you to be here? Is it not only right that we be givers too, also to prepare the way for those that are still out there lost and bound? We need to go towards the need. Some of you need to learn how to go towards the basket. To have that conviction to really love people. If you're still not a tither,